The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so begins one of the most familiar sections of Scripture in all the Bible. Even people who don't know the Bible have heard these words. They're often used at funerals. It's often turned in some sort of lithograph or picture that people hang on the walls in their house, even if they're only marginally religious. These are words that are comforting, that people have turned to for centuries and generations to find comfort in the difficult and dark times. The psalm starts in a relatively sunny way. But then comes the more darker part of the psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The whole scene in the second half of the psalm has an ominous tone to it after the sunny sense of the first several verses. Danger abounds and surrounds God's people collectively and God's person individually. And only the divine shepherd himself can safely guide us through. In fact, only the divine shepherd himself knows the way through. There are several images, metaphors that the psalmist uses there in that second half of the psalm, verses 4-6. That darker place, the valley of the shadow of death, the table prepared in the midst and in the presence of enemies, the head anointed with oil, and you hear the anointed head with oil. You hear a messianic quality to that, one whose head has been anointed by God. And then the house of the Lord itself, the temple on earth, but perhaps something more than just a temple. After all, many translations, modern translations today, if you look at your own translation this morning, have some sort of asterisk, some sort of footnote. The verb that's actually used there is the verb return, to return to the house of the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's the classic King James translation. King James language is so familiar with this psalm. We don't touch that much, even in modern translations, just like John 3:16 is just relatively untouched from the King James cadence. So well known, so well beloved is that old, centuries old rendering. But more precisely, I will return to the house of the Lord forever. That's the ultimate destination, that God is guiding his flock, that God is guiding his anointed towards. And yet on that journey, a journey that is not always by still waters, but a journey that is often in the presence of enemies, God prepares a table. It's a stunning image. And it's stunning that the image that is used is of God preparing for his beloved, for his anointed, a table in the presence of his enemies. When you hear that language, especially in this moment in our service, it's hard not to think of Jesus gathering his disciples around the table in an upper room in Jerusalem one night 2,000 years ago. Literally gathering a table prepared in the midst of a hostile city that mere hours later would put the anointed one of God to death. Even Jesus himself saw himself as the Christ, the one anointed by God himself in the Spirit, as ultimately one who was himself to be shepherded by God the Father through the events of the coming hours, the events that we are now remembering at this table prepared this morning. Indeed, Jesus himself would say in John 16 and verse 32, just a little bit after this final gathering at a table prepared in the midst of enemies, he would say to his disciples after their final meal together, behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you all will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Indeed, that will be fulfilled just moments later in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yet I am not alone, Jesus would say to them, for the Father is with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. And in the midst of my enemies, you prepare a table. And so as Jesus would come to the end of his earthly life, his pre-resurrection life on the cross, just hours later from when he said these words in John 16, he would call, Luke tells us in chapter 23 of that gospel, he would call out with a loud voice and he would say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And so when the darkness of the valley of death's shadow finally closed in around Jesus, he was able to fear no evil. God was with him and God shepherded him through the valley of the shadow of death, through death itself for 3 days later on a Sunday morning. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. Death would have no final claim on him because God was with him. And because Jesus set a table 2,000 years ago, this table that we now gather around this morning, because of that, another divine table comes into possibility, one which Isaiah, 8 centuries before Jesus, was shown by God in Isaiah chapter 25, where in an ecstatic vision, the prophet Isaiah says in verse 6, on this mountain, ironically a mountain that earthly Jerusalem and its mountain prefigured in an earthly way, on the eternal mountain, on the divine mountain, on the spiritual eternal mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged vine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations. Specifically, he will swallow up death forever. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isaiah could say that he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And we can now say this morning as we gather at this table, and the Lord has done it. And so as we gather around this table this morning, may we join in the same optimism as the opening of Psalm 23, the same hope. May we gather around the table that God has prepared for us this morning in the midst of our enemies, the same thankfulness, because this table truly holds before us a cup that still runs over, the overfull cup, the overflowing cup that by faith sits on this table at this very moment, this very morning, the cup that represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, our sin, this very morning. And let us renew our Psalm 23 faith in the God who is our shepherd this morning, the good shepherd who actually brought Jesus himself through death and can lead us through the same death as well. And let us therefore praise, as the psalmist does in this psalm, the God who has set this table before us in the midst of a hostile world, a fallen world, a world in which we will often have trouble and tribulation. But be of good cheer, because Jesus, the good shepherd, has overcome the world. And so let us, as we eat and drink, let us rejoice in God's faithfulness to us, the faithfulness of Jesus, who has been shepherded through the grave back to life, so that Isaiah's table is now a serious reality that we can, by faith, hope to attain. And let us eat this bread and drink this cup in the sober awareness that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we now, by God's grace in Jesus Christ, can dwell, yea, even better, can return from our fallenness to dwell in the house of the Lord forever.